Look in Luke chapter 2 at a couple of people that were waiting. Of course, Ron dealt with the one on Wednesday night when he talked a little bit about Simeon. Luke chapter 2. We'll begin with verse 22. I read this during the dedication this morning. When the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him, Jesus, to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice, according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Let me stop right there. The poor sacrificed pigeons and turtle doves. Under the law, God made a way for everyone to have a sacrifice. If they didn't have a bullock, they could use a lamb. If they didn't have a lamb, they could use a turtle dove or a pigeon. So that tells us that the parents of Christ were poor. Don't ever be distraught with poor people. By the grace of God, it could be you. On Friday, I calculated what's already come in to the ministry and what we've already purchased and what we've already had delivered and things brought in. And I think as of Friday, we're already at a point where it looks like we'll help 2,393 families already this year at Christmas. Someone said, why do you do that? Because poor people deserve it. I wonder if anyone showed any kindness to Mary and to Joseph, the man that would raise Jesus, call himself the earthly father, but we know he was conceived. Jesus was conceived by the power of the Holy Ghost. But I wonder if anyone showed kindness to them during their poverty. The Lord blesses those that will bless poor people. And the Bible says in verse 25, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout. Here it is, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost, underline that name, Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. Isn't that interesting? The Spirit had not yet been given, but the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by who? The Holy Ghost, that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by who? The Spirit into the temple. And when when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them, and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. That's one, Simeon. Here's the second one waiting. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years. 84 years. Which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Here was two people that were waiting on the Messiah. One, Simeon. Ron mentioned on Wednesday night, and I'll not repeat that, about the way that he was persistent. And his thoughts even went to the fact that how many times Simeon must have wondered, is this the child? Is this the one? But through that, I want to look at just another aspect of that. Why he was waiting. 3 times in 3 verses, the Bible specifically mentions The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. The Spirit. I think that's significant because you'll never really see Jesus without the help of the Holy Ghost. I hate what churches in America have become. We're so much in a routine. We go through the motions so often. We sing our songs. We go through the usual pattern of service. And somehow through all of it, and yes, especially during Christmas, we seem to leave the Holy Spirit out of all of it. But I couldn't help but notice something. My mind went back when Grayson was born. My mind went back to when my kids were born. And dads, your mind will go back to when your kids were born. You could not be responsible for the birth of that child. You could not help in the birth of that child. In fact, when your wife was delivering, you were just praising God that she didn't kill you through all of it. But while you're standing there so helpless, wanting to take the pain away, but realizing that the blessing follows the pain, then the child is born. Every dad with their child, every dad that really understands that they're a dad. I watched it in Ryan. I saw it in my life. I've seen it in the life of dozens of you. They stand back. Somewhat protective. Saying, this is my boy. I'm watching out for him. I'm taking care of him. They have a watchful eye. Not to be mean, but to be cautious. It's something inside of every dad. While most of the men in this church are meek men, they would never do anything to harm anyone. In fact, you could probably call them anything you wanted to call them, do anything you wanted to do to them. But if you choose a fight with their children, watch out. Am I preaching or not? I know that a lot of people have a lot of confusion about all of it. But we know when it comes to the fatherly role, the Holy Spirit says Mary was a virgin that conceived by, help me out, the Holy Ghost. Do you think that he was going to let Jesus be born and stand back and have nothing to do with his life after that day? No, the truth of the matter is, that's why the Lord himself, Christ himself said, even as he went farther into the scripture, he says that when we lift him up, he will draw all men unto him. Do you know why that men are drawn to him when we lift him up? Because the Holy Spirit is always watching over everything that is done in the name of Jesus, or that it is affecting the life, the ministry, the outreach of Jesus Christ. Therefore, when we lift Jesus up, the Holy Spirit's presence is stronger and stronger and stronger. You watch in any church that all they do is talk about themselves. All they do is talk about how great they are. All they do is talk about their programs and never mention the name of Jesus. Never exalt Jesus. Never talk about Jesus. Never lift Jesus up. Then it won't be long until that church will begin to die. But as long as we keep our focus on Jesus, as long as we keep looking to Christ, there's something about the Holy Spirit. He hovers around those that look after Jesus, that guard Jesus in their heart, have reverence for Jesus. It does something to their lives spiritually and picks them up to a new level of spirituality, because the higher that we lift up Jesus, the greater the presence of the Holy Ghost. I'm just telling you this. No room for dead services at Christmas. No time for us to be dead and formal and dried up. If there's ever a time that you have a right to praise God and let tears flow from your eyes and be emotional about Jesus, it's during this time that marked it all, when God became flesh and dwelt among us. The Holy Ghost was there upon Simeon. And I'm here to tell you that everything you do throughout Christmas that is done in Jesus' name, the Holy Ghost will abide upon you too. I want services that are filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. I want the Holy Spirit to be present tonight in the play. I want our cast to feel the weight and the burden of sinners that will be present tonight to hear the message of Jesus. See, He cannot be revealed without the Holy Spirit. You cannot see Jesus without the Holy Spirit. You cannot be saved without the Holy Spirit revealing to you that you need to be saved. So Simeon had this strong consolation because the Spirit was upon him. I'm going to ask you a question. Since you've been saved, has there ever been times where the Holy Spirit, He's always in us, but has there ever been time where the Holy Spirit comes upon you? I mean, sometimes when He comes upon you, it's not at times that you plan and things that you do. We're preparing for the Christmas musical. And I know it's always a jittery time. It's a time when everything's going on and people saying, how can they learn this and how can they do that? But this week, I started out of the hospital and I'd made my rounds and I started out three times and got stopped by people. And they said, someone's in the hospital. Can you go back in and pray? Went back in and prayed for them. I'm running later and later all the time. And I have an appointment that I have to make it to. And I'm trying to rush through all of it. And they gave us a CD of the Christmas musical this year. I have it in my car. I play it all the time. I've already listened to it 20 times. I don't think that'd be an exaggeration. 20 times coming and going. It's on. I'm not always paying in-depth attention, but I'm listening, soaking it in, listening to it. But all of a sudden, here I am frantic. I'm in a hurry. I'm somewhat like Phillips Brooks. I'm frustrated. I'm irritable. And I turn the key in the ignition. I start down. And when I start down the road and start out of the parking lot, a car runs a stop sign, almost hits me. So then I'm really frustrated, really irritable, until I get over on Grandview. Have any of you driven down Grandview? There's no place to get off the road. There's cars all along the side of the road. And all of a sudden they're singing a song. And the Holy Spirit came in and reminded me what it's all about. What it's all about. It's about Jesus. And suddenly inside of that old man, me and the blessed Spirit of God had a hallelujah spell. And without the presence of the Holy Ghost, you lose the meaning what Christmas is really all about. You say, well, I've never shouted. Maybe this will be your first Christmas. You say, I don't weep. Don't tell God you won't. The Holy Ghost. I don't have time to get into everything I wanted to. I'm going to preach a message sometime on the three wise women. We talk about three wise men, but you don't hear many messages on the three wise women. There were three wise women relating to Christ's birth. Mary, Elizabeth, and Anna. You look at how they responded to the message. See who the message came to. See how God did special things in their life because they had an understanding of who the Christ child was. So Simeon, by the Spirit, is waiting. And then there's Anna. Anna waiting on the Lord. Anxious, I suppose. Some have estimated that she could have been as old as 111 years of age. About the least that I've seen is 103 from journals of history. Here was Anna. She should have been retired. But instead, where do we find her? We find her sacrificing every day, coming to the temple, doing what's right, sacrificing in her retirement. She'd been a widow for 84 years. I think she had a right to take it easy. Some of you are only 50 and think you have a right to take it easy. Nothing wrong with retirement, but you never retire from God. Never retire from the service of the Lord. Retirement really wasn't much of an option in that day, though. You know, if you didn't have someone there to take care of you, someone there to meet your needs, if it wasn't for the family, there wasn't any government assistant, there wasn't any other way for them to find help in their time of need. And the widows were totally dependent upon the church. You want a special blessing, you should watch out for the widows. I know the Bible doesn't say widowers too, but I think God blesses us for watching out for widowers. We've certainly got enough new widowers here in our church in this past year. Many of them will be facing their first Christmas without their dear loved one by their side. And I want you to know, widows and widowers alike, I pray the power of the Holy Ghost helps you in ways that you cannot help yourself and gives you greater understanding. Just any day Jesus could come. It'll all be different then. Reunited again with those you love. She could have taken it easy, but she didn't. She must have really felt grateful for the help that had to come from God to be at that age and even able to go to the temple. If she was 103, we don't have anyone 103 here today. She not only went to the temple, she stayed there night and day. That's a strong lady. She had to be very grateful for health. Hey, by the way, are you grateful for your health? Say, well, you know, I've got this wrong with me and that wrong with me. Yes, but how many things has God spared you from? Full of all the great healings that we've seen just in the past year right here in the church. People that were on deathbed that should already be out of this world in heaven, but God spared their life. And because people called upon Jesus, they knew that He could help. And the Lord miraculously touched your life, touched your body, spared your life, gave you life, health, and strength. I'd say every day she was just thankful that she's strong enough to keep going. I have days like that as young as I am. I just thank God that I'm strong enough to keep going. I talked to a great preacher this week, and he said, "Preacher, you better watch." He said, "In the next 5 years," he said, "one day you'll just feel like everything's unplugged." And I said, "Brother, I felt that way 5 years ago." And he said, "Well, how do you go?" I said, "On the power and might of the Lord, the prayers of God's people." And she realized that as well. She had a resting place. Church was her relationship. The Lord was her relationship. She could have remarried by the law, 84 years. She had every biblical right and legal right to remarry. But she found herself dedicated to the service of the Lord. She determined, "I'm going to finish this thing out serving God." Could I encourage you today to do something? Don't quit serving the Lord. The little things matter. Little things that you do that you think nobody else sees. Ushers, it doesn't seem important to you that you help somebody find a parking place or help somebody that's old and hardly able to get out of their vehicle, help them inside. And you young guys, when you take those umbrellas out when the rain's coming down and help people coming inside, it doesn't seem like much, but it does to that person that you kept your eye. It doesn't seem like much when you give up your seat for someone that comes in with their family to say, "Listen, why don't you all sit together? We can find a seat somewhere else." That seems like such a small thing to do. Doesn't seem like much to you, but it means something to them. Doesn't seem like much tonight when you bring in a half a dozen cans of food or you bring in some green beans that God blessed your garden. You can more than you ever dreamed you'd can. Doesn't seem like much to you, but it'll sure mean something to one of those dear little ladies, an elderly gentleman. I got a call this week, and I'll not call out names, but they're here in the church and they can verify it. One family living in a little two-room, two-bedroom shack with 11 in the household. 11. A mother sick. Kids working. Kids working to trying to keep food on the table. High school kids. Everything they make in their paycheck, they bring it in for the family. Don't tell me that we can't serve God. A dear old Scottish preacher was laying on his bed dying. And a friend passed by that was an unbeliever and said, "What are you doing with your soul now that you're near death?" And he said, "I'm doing with it what I've done for 40 years. I'm resting on the Word of God." There is no place to stop resting on the Lord. There is no place to give up. Anna said, "I'm waiting." Simeon said, "I'm waiting." Oh, I've not even got the introduction done. But I know the Holy Spirit. I know when it's time to quit. But I have to say this to you. If somehow we could call Simeon back and Anna back today and then stand on this platform before us, we really don't know. The age of Simeon is not recorded. But the Bible goes into great detail in Luke, giving us the age, the time frame in Anna's life, until at least we have some kind of knowledge how far along in years she'd serve the Lord night and day with prayers and fastings. We could call them before us, knowing that they had waited and waited and waited. In fact, it was 4,000 years from the time of Abraham until the coming of the Messiah in Bethlehem. 4,000 years the Jewish people had waited. Ron mentioned Wednesday night, 400 years from the Old Testament to the New Testament alone. 400 years without a prophet that had recorded prophecy in Scripture. Isaiah was there 700 years before he came. And now these two people, Anna, Simeon, had waited and waited and waited. And the Spirit coming upon Simeon stronger every day. He's coming, Simeon. He's coming. Today's the day. The Spirit led him there. If we could ask him, all that waiting, all that praying, all that fasting, living in poverty. I'm sure Anna lived in poverty, dependent to live by faith every day. When you saw him, what did you think? I would say both of them would have the same response. Oh, Jesus was worth the wait. Jesus was worth the wait. Many, many times in life, you'll find yourself waiting. There's been a few things in life that I've waited on and waited on and waited on. And when it finally came, it wasn't worth it. You know what it's like. You wait an hour and a half for a meal and you get it and it's cold. It's not worth it. But other things, Katie and Russ, it's worth the wait. Trust me. Ryan and Tara will tell you it was worth the wait. It's worth the wait until you finally have your children, isn't it? And then grandkids, oh, it's worth the wait. Some things are really worth it. But can I say this? when it comes to Jesus. There is nothing that will have any greater worth in all your life.
Amen.
For when He comes in, you can say, this is what I've been waiting for all my life. This is what I've been waiting on. This is why the Holy Spirit touched my heart service after service. He is worth the wait. You're here today without the Lord. Don't leave this place without Him. You've waited long enough. See, you keep waiting on Him to show up. Can I ask anyone here, just be honest, Christians, all over the sanctuary, I know it's not on our feelings or anything else, but how many of y'all really felt the power of the Holy Ghost here today? That must mean Jesus is here. See, you're waiting on Him to come and He's already here. You're walking away without the very thing you've been waiting for. He's here today. He can be yours today. For those of you that need a servant's heart during this time of year, don't get aggravated and frustrated in the middle of all your waiting. Just come and ask the Lord to give you more help. The Holy Spirit will come upon you stronger than ever before, because there's a world that needs Jesus. Let's stand together. Howard, I know it's unusual. I'd like for us to sing Silent Night this morning. Someone said you can't sing Silent Night for an invitation song. Tell that to C.D. Harris. C.D. Harris got saved when we were singing Silent Night. I don't know how many people I've seen get saved over the years when we sang Silent Night. That was the night they'd been waiting for. It's what I've been waiting on. Waiting for the opportunity for some of you to come and have your life changed, because He came that night. If you need the Lord today, while we sing, why don't you come from your seat?